Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I want to continue the talk that I was doing last week on outhouses. No, I want to do it on thankfulness. But all Donna remembered about my speech, my sharing was about outhouses. So did anybody else go home and you were thankful for your bathroom? Anybody? Right, Ray's? I was, because I spoke about it all morning. I'm thankful. Oh, so what I'd like to do, if we could put up Romans 1:23 to start, and if you could turn your Bibles, that's where we started last week. I actually believe that God gave me a key. We shared a little bit about it, but anxiety, depression, stress, disorders, mental illness is on the rise like never before. Did you know that? Doesn't matter who you talk to, people are stressed. People are anxious. People are lacking sleep. There's a lot of reasons for it. There's spiritual. There's a lot of things. But I actually believe buried within, 21, Romans 1:21. I jumped a little far there. I believe buried within Romans 1:21 is a answer to all this. Romans 1:21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Everybody say with me, thankful. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Holy Spirit, I pray that you give me the thoughts, the words, the things to say today. Father God, I pray that we would begin to become, Lord, you're calling us to be mighty ones, and I pray, Lord, that we would take the weapons that you give us, the things that you give us, we begin to use them powerfully. Lord, that we would be well-trained soldiers in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's the term we use. Hopefully you're getting used to it, but we want to be mighty ones. Now, you are in your DNA as a new believer, you are a mighty one. Did you know that? Right. But you could have the ability to run a marathon. The Detroit Marathon's right now. I don't know if it's done or how that works, but people are running right now and putting in ridiculous times that I would never even imagine trying to run. But in their DNA, they have the ability actually to run. Now, how many know you could have the ability to be a long-distance runner but still have to train? Right? Some people are built for things. Like, that's in their DNA. Marathon running is not in my DNA. I'm happy with a 5K run, and that's pushing it already. I'm more probably of a sprinter back in the day, but there's just things in our DNA. But it doesn't matter if it's just in your DNA. You got to do something with it. You got to train it. So in your DNA, because you're a child of God, you are a new believer, born again. You have the Spirit of God within you. All right, we want the Holy Spirit to fill us. You could have all that, but still not actually function like a mighty one. Right? You got to function as a mighty one. It's like there are some things that are not to be a part of our life, not because God's mean. It's just like he doesn't want that part of our life because it's not part of our DNA anymore. So turn to your neighbor and say, whether you know it or not, or even believe it or not, you are a mighty one. Okay, if you could put that scripture back up for me, please. Romans 1:21. I'm going to kind of start here, and then we're going to deviate. But interesting, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Interesting that the key words in this, if you look, obviously glorify, thankful, futile in their thoughts, and foolish hearts. I really want you to take note of words that are the thoughts and hearts. Thoughts and heart. Thought and heart. And I'm going to explain why I'm going back and forth with those. So here's the key that I believe on thankfulness, and then we're going to veer from that. It's interesting in the Ten Commandments, it says to not covet, doesn't it? And a lot of times I don't know if you've ever looked at the Ten Commandments since being maybe moved into grace, but I can actually look now at the Ten Commandments, and before they seem like harsh commands, I can look at every one of them now and see full of grace. They're actually for our benefit, not for his. So it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, really your neighbor's things, all that. You shall not covet. Don't covet the horse. Don't covet the mule. Don't covet the wife. Don't covet any of it. The car, the house. So as I was studying this, because it says they weren't thankful but became futile in their thoughts, pair that up with the fact that anxiety, stress, depression, all these disorders are increasing like never before. And I thought, isn't it interesting that we have a generation? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's necessarily wrong things about it. But we have a generation that is growing up on social media. I heard a story the other day. I might have shared this story. I don't have the full details, but it was a story relayed about a person who raised and earned and saved money to take their kids to Florida. Like, this was a big deal. Like, they had saved and they couldn't wait to go, and they're there and they're just loving it and they're having a great time. And at one point, I believe it was a single mom, you know, so it was a really big trip to do. And at one point, she gets on social media and she's going to post something, and she sees a friend who's in Mexico with their family. And all of a sudden, she gets discouraged because she's in Florida and her friend's in Mexico. You know that this happens all the time? We live in a world where we can see everybody else's best moments. Nobody takes, I've said it before, nobody takes selfies of your argument. You know, you're not in the middle of a fight and you don't go, hey, let's just stop and take a good picture of this one. You know, can you get your arm out like you were doing just a minute ago? Like, it was right in my chest. Can you, like, because nobody does that. So what we do is we take the best snapshots of our life, throw it up on social media, but what ends up happening, to be honest with you, I didn't see this until the other day. I know I've been fasting. I've rarely go on social media. So I didn't connect it until the Lord showed me. But what we're doing, actually, without even realizing it, we're coveting. And when you covet, you can't be thankful for what you have. I can't be looking at my neighbor's wife and thankful for my wife at the same time. Come on, let's just be honest. I've never tried it, so. My wife's looking at me. Listen, you can't be looking at your neighbor's Porsche and loving my Sonic, like, at the same time. I know, it's like, why would you? But it's the same car that gets me to work every day. And isn't it amazing that I could love it, and I could love it, and I could polish it, and I can do all the things, and then some other car, and all of a sudden the thing that I love becomes less than, because now my eyes are over here. But look at the danger. It says, we're thankful because they weren't thankful. They became futile or vain. The word futile actually means emptiness and inability to produce results. That's what futile actually means. Empty and the inability to produce results in their thoughts. And so I believe anxiety is increasing because we see so many things of what we think we should be instead of looking at what we're supposed to be and thankful for what we have, but we're always looking at what we don't have. And then the result is we actually become futile in our thoughts. Now, I've gone through seasons without realizing it, that I began to covet other people's ministries. You know, have you ever coveted somebody else's job? That's my job, right? So I'm in ministry. So when I'm looking at this ministry and I look and then, you know, you go on, you're flipping through and you see Stephen Furtick, you see all these Joel Osteen, you see different ones who have thousands of people. It's easy without realizing it. You're coveting what they have. Okay, I'm just being real. The end result of that is that you begin to be discouraged, which is actually futile or empty thoughts, and you start thinking about what you don't have instead of being thankful for what you do have. Interesting enough, the end result is a lot of times you don't get driven to produce, you actually become discouraged and not produce. So you go to your work and you start hating your job where you liked it 2 weeks ago, and now you don't like your job because somebody told you about their job. And you produce less, you become empty in your thoughts, and your foolish heart becomes darkened. That's the next thing. Your thoughts become futile or vain, and then your heart becomes darkened. And those two words have got me all week. I've been thinking, and last week, I have studied thoughts for a long time because I've had to battle my own thoughts and had to learn to try to become positive. You know, Donna gave me you said a while back, I said, I'm not actually an optimist by nature. She said, oh my gosh, you're such an optimist. I'm like, not by nature. It is easy for me to slide into negativity. That's why I refuse to be around people that want to talk doom and gloom about our earth. I can go there easy enough on my own. I don't need you to try to pull me down with you. I want to be somebody that looks at the best. We'll deal with it, but let's keep looking at the best. That's why tomorrow, no matter what happens, we're still looking at the best, right? We're believing for the best, but no matter what, we'll face Tuesday and keep going. Come on, church. It's not the end of the world. We're just going to keep believing that government's going to get better. I remember Chris Valentin one time talking because people doom and gloom. And he's like, it's interesting that people talk that way. And he said, I was thinking about that while I was on a plane going faster than most planes have traveled in years. You know, going across, watching TV on the plane, on my own screen, right? Because planes, you know, depending on what you fly, not Swoop necessarily or Spirit, but you know what I mean? Like, there are some things that are getting better, and yes, there are some things that are getting worse. But all right, let's take a journey. You guys ready? I said yes last time. I threw out some scriptures, but I want you to go to Genesis 1 with me. I touched this, and I want to show you a few things. Steve, can you crack open? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Next verse, please. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Another way that people have said it, different translation, it was chaos, was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Next verse. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke, and there was. Okay, I'm going to read a few scriptures that go along with that. You can turn there if you want. Turn to John 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So literally it's saying that the Word was God, and God spoke, and everything became, and nothing's made that was not made that wasn't made through him. You get that? Okay, one more scripture verse. Tie it all in. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So literally, God spoke, things became. So all last week, not last week, the week before, I've been studying because I got kind of intrigued with this thought of what is it about words? And I told you about vibrations and I told you about sound. I want to show you a video. Do you have that video cued? I want to show you a video. I am speaking right now and my voice is creating vibrations. Okay? Sound waves. Just pause it for 1 second. And we'll go back. So sound waves. My sound waves are affecting and reacting to all the other sound waves. There's this thing called the string theory. Got a lot of fun stuff going on the screens. The string theory is this, that they have discovered that between everything and every cell, there's a vibration that holds everything together. So you think of that. They keep finding, because of technology, deeper things. They've now realized that there's vibrations that hold everything together. So Christian scientists are believing that when God spoke for the first time, his voice created vibrations that created everything, and those vibrations are still going today. Okay, I want to show you a video of vibrations that we, you know, we have songs, we have sound coming right now. We don't even realize what's going on, but watch this. This is so cool. This is just for entertainment purposes and get a visual. Just watch a few minutes of it, or a minute. So basically that is a metal plate, and that is a tone producing, and that is salt. Salt, you see it's in a form of chaos. Watch this. realize that the vibrations are causing geometric shapes all on their own? It's just changing the hertz. If you find that fascinating, that sound is creating order. The sound of the vibration, the tone that they're creating, like think about that for a minute. They're just putting a tone there and it's creating geometrical shapes. It's taking chaos and producing order. So this is the decade, Pastor Rod, and I mentioned it last week, the decade of the mouth. I believe in this season and the next 10 years, if Christians will listen, we are going to begin to learn of the power of our voice in the Holy Spirit as he directs us, and not always as he just directs us, as we get wiser with what we say, because our voices are going to begin to change things. This, to me, proves to me that when I speak, something happens. Because there's a tone and a vibration in my voice. And if everything has a vibration to it, now this may sound all wacky, it's science that's beginning to catch up. Because if everything has a vibration and I speak to it, therefore I have the ability to affect it. And people may say, well, how does that work? Listen, I said it last week. I could take somebody, and I would never want to do it, but I could take somebody and publicly use my words to humiliate them and reshape their destiny. I could also use the same words and reshape their destiny in a positive. Right? Like, you know, Claude, by saying that to the three singers, that was a public affirmation of well done. Good job, sounded great, that builds people up. Our words are effective. Do you realize science is beginning to show you that your words are not only powerful in the spirit, they're powerful in the physical realm? I want to give you a few examples. If you want to know the exact date, has anybody ever heard of the famous bridge that collapsed because of the troops that walked across it? Where's it at? Help me, Jesus. There's a famous story of a bridge where all the troops were walking across, and they had, it's called cadence, right? They're all walking together. The vibrations, I may or may not be able to find it. The vibrations in their step is actually what caused it to break. And I can't find it. Here we go. Yes, I did. It's called the Broughton Suspension Bridge, 1826. The troops marched across in unison. The vibration of their motion caused a bolt to snap. The whole bridge collapsed and soldiers flew into the water. After that, they made a directive. Every time you cross a bridge, we don't march. We break step. Interesting, another suspension bridge many years later, the wind hit it at a frequency and collapsed the whole bridge. The sound and the vibration of the wind collapsed the bridge. Here's another interesting thing. If you have a kidney stone and they have to take it out, do you know what they use? Sound to break it apart. Sonic sound to break it apart. Is it possible that our thankfulness sound and praise is not just something to glorify the Lord? Is it possible that buried within our worship is the ability, we've been saying it for a long time, to reshape environments with the sound of our singing, with the sound of our voice? Okay, listen, come on, listen. If it could take a kidney stone and break it apart with sound, what does worship do? Like really think about it, because it's not that we're just coming in here and doing a service. What if our sounds are affecting the atmosphere both physically and we know spiritually? With James talks about this, with one word of the tongue, it's like the rein of a horse that you could pull it. It's like a ship, a rudder that can turn an entire ship with a little teeny rudder. And he says that's what the tongue is. And in this case, he was using it in a negative concept. He's like, it's like a forest fire. You could use your tongue. How many know that you could apologize 100 times, but you could come in and say one harsh word and you can affect a day, a week, a month, a year in the life of your family? One word spoken. Like in anger, you could yell out, I hate you. And that word can pierce a soul and almost be hard to repair for years. Tried that with my daughter once. You want context, I know. We're at the dinner table and the kids are bickering. They're bickering back and forth and they're calling each other names. I'm so frustrated. So finally, this brilliant idea. I looked at Megan and I looked at Megan. I went, I hate you. Just to try to show them how harmful it was. She looked at me. She says, I hate you too. We're connected. She called me on it. And we ended up on the floor almost laughing. We were busting a gut because she calls me on every one of my supposed learning opportunities. She's also the one that when I said, you got to spank me. Do you remember this story if you haven't heard it? This is Megan, right? So I said, you got to spank me. She actually was the one in trouble, but instead of spanking her, I said, I'm going to take it for you. This was supposed to be a golden moment, focus on the family. Dr. Dobson, he described this. And so I'm like, go get the wooden spoon. You got to spank me. And so she starts and she's like just kind of hitting me. And I'm like, honey, you're going to have, like, I'm taking your spanking. You're going to have to hit me. It's supposed to go. Daddy, I don't want to hit you. I don't want to hurt you. No, no. What she ended up doing was literally going, wham, wham. And she's laughing and I'm in pain. And she never learned a lesson at all. I did, though. Do not let her spank me. Aaron would be crying, though. Right, Aaron? No, she probably wouldn't be. Not now, anyway. Got a lineup of all the kids. I'll spank you next, Dad. I always think of JFK. We shall go to the moon. With one sentence, it triggered a building and engineering stage of incredible feats. Did you ever watch the movie? It was all the African-American women behind the scenes that nobody knew about. Hidden Figures. If you've not seen that movie, it's such a good movie. But you think of all these triggers of people and the hours that they spent because one sentence was declared. Our voice creates the world around us. That's what I want you to take from this whole vibrations thing. Our voice, our praise, our thanks creates the world around us. When I come home and I speak life, Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. When I come home and I speak life, I'm creating the world that I'm going to live in the next few hours. My mood, my voice creates it, right? You getting it? Okay, so as I studied all the power of our voice, the vibrations, what it can do, you know, you think about Jericho and the wall that fell down. You start thinking about the power of what God was doing. Now, I believe that was both spiritual and physical because they shouted and they blew the trumpets all at the same time. Was it possible that they tapped into sonic warfare? Is it possible when he sent the worshipers out that there was something God was trying to teach us? Instead of the army going before them, they sent the worshipers and God did something miraculous with it, but he was trying to teach us the power of praise. So is it possible when we come in and we've been trying to teach this, a mighty one doesn't go, I don't feel like worshiping. Well, that's why you got to worship. Because when you don't feel like it, it's very possible that your change is going to come through worship. But we often think, I'll worship when I feel like it. That's actually becoming futile in our thoughts, and they did not glorify God. Because we don't glorify God when we feel good. We glorify God because he's God. And then we become thankful, and we live in a nation. We don't have to try to conjure up things that we should be thankful for. Right now we have air, we have heat, we have comfortable seats. My wife and I are doing a bit of a renovation in our room, and so we had to take everything out of our bedroom, and we had to shove it into our family room. So we made like it was crammed, it's crazy. We just shoved everything into our family room. And I remember going, oh, I can't believe we have to do this for a few weeks. And then I put on the movie, The Boy That Harnessed the Wind. Anybody see that one? That's another great one to watch. So the very first scene is their house in Africa. No windows. Everything's falling apart. You know, their house is smaller almost than my family room altogether. And I looked at that and I went, I'm so sorry, Lord. Here I am complaining that my bedroom in my family room's not big enough. And I'm looking at this like makeshift bed, paint falling off the walls, no windows. And I'm complaining. Like, this is reality check for me. We have so much to be thankful for. And the minute we move away from thankfulness, we become futile in our thoughts. Now, here's where I want to go. I want to connect. I want to read something, then I want to connect this. Because I've studied Caroline Leaf. Anybody read her books? She's amazing. She is a neuroscientist, also a Christian. And she studied our thoughts. So I'm like, Lord, you're saying our voice is powerful. But I've been studying that our thoughts are powerful. Which one is it? And he said, yes. Okay? Listen, research shows that DNA... Okay, so we just watched a second ago that vibrations change the pattern and the structure of salt. Research shows that DNA actually changes shape in response to our thoughts. Okay? Your DNA will change shape based on the thoughts that you think. I'll read a few more things here. We produce our state of mind through our thoughts. What we say and do is based on what we've already built into our minds. Our choices, which are the natural consequences of our thoughts and our imagination, get under the skin of our DNA and can turn certain genes on and off, changing the structure of the neurons in our brain. So our thoughts, imaginations, and choices can change the structure and function of our brains on every level. That's really deep. What it's basically saying is how you think will change your brain. So everybody's like, well, no, you know, you have the gene for this, you have the gene for that. And the research is beginning to show, just like a runner that can be a marathon runner that may never turn that on through training. Yeah, you may have the gene for something that's negative, but you can actually overturn it with your thoughts because your thoughts actually shape your brain. Okay, so I want to read Philippians, and I'd like you to put it up on the screen. We'll go through it line by line. This is something, Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. Then I'm going to put it all together. Philippians 4. If you could start with verse 4 there, Stephen. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do you think maybe Paul's saying, hey, we should rejoice in the Lord always? What would happen if we actually all rejoiced in the Lord always? I'm hoping what you'll take away is you'll realize that something is happening with your voice, both in your mind and physically when you're saying things. This is really what I hope you take away from it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice next. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand next. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So you've got prayer, supplication, which is like another level of prayer, and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Next. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Next. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That word meditate goes directly to the mind and thoughts and imaginations. As I looked up words like meditate, everything goes back to thoughts, mind, imagination, all these things. Do you see once where it says, finally, brethren, think on those things that are about to destroy you. Think on those doomful things. Think about what your neighbor has that you don't. There is nothing in there about doom and gloom. There's nothing in there about the church down the road that does things worse or better than you do. There's nothing in there about what your neighbor has that you don't. We're supposed to think on the good things. We're supposed to meditate and rejoice and be thankful on the good things. And what science is actually finally proving is when you do that, you shape your mind. And here's my point that I want to get to. As you shape your mind, it's actually shaping your heart, which is your whole body, soul, and spirit. And what shapes you is what you'll speak. And what you speak is the world that you'll create. I'm going to turn one more scripture. Maybe just one more scripture. I got a lot of scriptures. Turn to Matthew with me. Matthew 12. I'm going to wrap it up with this scripture. Matthew 12, verse 34 to 35. Can you throw that up there, please? Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Brood of vipers. That's a nice verse to start with. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's actually verse only 24. I don't need 34. I don't need the other one. Out of the abundance of the heart, which actually when you look up the word heart, it's not your beating heart. It's actually describing the whole process of your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions. Out of that place, your mouth speaks. So what it's literally saying is, if you're speaking things you don't want to, check what you're thinking about and meditating on. If you have a hard time worshiping God, check what you're thinking about and meditating. Because if you're thinking about all negative things and then you want to come in and worship, it's going to be hard to come out of a place of worship. When I'm at my house and, you know, it's so easy to nitpick, isn't it? Nitpick with your kids, nitpick with your wife. And I'm learning to try to take my thoughts captive because as much as I could nitpick on them, they could nitpick on me a whole lot more. So when I saw a glass that Krista left out the other day, see, I didn't nitpick privately. I did it publicly right now. She had a glass out the other day. And I wanted to say, Krista, put your glass away. But I was wise and I looked at my side. And I went, I'm not saying a thing. I'm grabbing my glasses and I'm grabbing hers and I'm putting them away. Because it's easy. Why do I say that? Because I can begin to nitpick and go, she. And you know, if I begin to think about all the negative, I can build a case. Oh, I could build a case from the present, yesterday, 10 years ago. And before I know it, I'm starting to get angry with her. Out of the thoughts that I'm thinking, and it's not even the reality, it's just my thoughts. I think it was Wendy Backlund that said, you could take one thought and think about it 40 times. You ruminate on that thought, and your body doesn't know the difference, so in your mind, you've been betrayed by that person 40 times, because you've thought about it 40 times. So your emotions are being affected by it, your mind is being affected by it, how you speak is being affected by it. So God is trying to, in these things, you know, it says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. Can I give you a few Proverbs? I shouldn't have said that was my last scripture because I had a few really good scriptures I want to share with you. You can write these down. I'm going to read them out. But listen to these words in Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. You know this one well. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Right? And what did it say, Matthew? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So what are we sticking in our heart and our mind? right? People say, well, why do I have to read the word? Well, the word is life. Jesus is the very word, and the word was written down so we could have that word to put into us. So when we read the word, the abundance of it overflows us. It doesn't just mean the abundance of preaching scripture at people, right? When you feed yourself on the word, it's not good to just, you don't just blare scripture at people. You let the word go in and you digest it and you let the life come out of it for people. You guys tracking with me? So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But listen, but a good word makes it glad. Do you hear that? That's Proverbs 12:25, if you want to write that out. So anxiety in the heart causes depression. So what's the answer to it? But a good word makes it glad. So when we speak over people life, you can literally overturn the negative. I don't know if you guys are as excited about this as I am. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Ugh. Proverbs 15:30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Just think about that. The light of the eyes, what you see, rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. You think about that one for a minute. You want healthy bones as you get older? We don't have to battle osteoporosis. Why don't we just speak life over our bones? You know, and I'm learning. I always use Connie as the example because she drove me crazy as she blessed everything. I'm like, do you realize how young that woman looks? Like, seriously? She's a certain age that she wouldn't want me to tell you. She looks good for her age. And I'm pretty darn sure it's not genetics. I'm pretty sure she speaks life over herself all the time. That's so awesome. A good report makes the bones healthy. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I love this. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 16:23. Listen to this one. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So I shared last week that they took a foundation and speakers, 30-inch speakers, and they played a tone and it shook it off its foundation. It wasn't because of the sound, the level of noise, it was the vibrations that caused it to shake off. So it's not about how loud we are. You could whisper through your mouth and curse somebody. People do it all the time while they drive. I'm serious. I watched somebody the other day. I was just sitting there. I was going to pull out, and I saw her, so I stopped. And I could read lips. I'm not even have to be a lip reader for that one. And I'm learning to go, no, I don't receive that curse. Like, she was just an angry woman. And actually, my heart was grieved for her because I thought, this girl's in turmoil. If that little thing caused her to blow up like that, I feel so bad for her. What is her life like? I bless you. I pray peace upon you. Did you hear that? A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Crushed by it. And a flattering mouth works ruin. The power of our mouth, we're learning, it's not just, it's spiritual, but it's also physical. And our thoughts, our thoughts create the world as we speak. But you're not going to create a good world around you if you have negative thoughts within you all the time. So it has to start with us by meditating on the word of God, getting Holy Spirit within us, finding a place of rest and saying, Lord, fill me with you. Because out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. So if I'm finding myself saying really stupid things, or if I'm cursing people, or if I'm full of hatred or anger or anything that is not God, then I need to start and go, what am I thinking about? What am I meditating on? What are my eyes looking at? What am I watching? What am I thinking? Church, we can't be mighty ones if we don't model the Christian life. And I don't think we can model the Christian life without truly getting into his presence and getting him inside of us. Because so often we speak one thing and act a different way. Or we act one way and speak something different. And I want my life, to be honest, I want my life to line up with the word of God. And I want to have more airplane experiences. That airplane experience where I just said, hey, you light up the room. And next thing I know, I'm getting this abundance of Delta cookies. The cookies were not the point. It was good, though. The point was that I changed her day from one sentence. And I purposely think it was the words that I used, but more importantly, I think it was the overflow of my heart. I had just come from a conference. I had worshiped for 3 days straight, like 12 hours a day. I think I had an abundance in my heart, and I just went, hey, you, and I didn't even have to say anything. Oh, because it's the abundance of our heart. What if we do that all the time? What if we, after we leave, like how many of us are going to go out to eat somewhere, are going to go visit with family and friends? What if we let the abundance of worship and the word flow out of us when we go eat today? And we just give one person life. So often we're like, hey, do you know Jesus? Oh, don't start there. It's funny because I wanted to go, I was going to pray with that girl. And before I could even get the words out, it's like she was gone. And I knew that if I would have stepped that much further, I would have been out of the Lord's will. See, we always wanted to go to the juggler, right? Got to get him saved right off. What if I'm just the first step in a series of encounters that she's going to have over the next month? And my words were just setting the stage for somebody else's words. So we got to trust in the faithfulness of God. We got to know wisdom, right? Because sometimes we set it up and we're supposed to stop. And what we do is we actually, the house of cards falls, right? Because we're like, oh, I went too far. Just bless them. Intrigue them. I think Rod was intriguing the Jewish tour guide. Obviously, out of the abundance of him and his brother, they were intriguing this man. So recap. Every word that we speak, my words that I've been speaking are not just hitting your mind. They actually have vibrations that are doing something in you. I know that sounds all sciencey and weird, and it is, but you need to understand that your words have power. And then you attach this spiritual realm to what we speak. It's life or death. And it comes from our heart, and our heart can only be changed, meaning our mind, soul, spirit, can only be changed by what we think. That's why Philippians says, think upon those things. So whatever you're thinking about, like, so if this is the year, and I'm getting a hold of that year, the decade of the mouth. I'm like, I want my mouth to be purified. I don't want to curse leaders. I don't care who it is. Your curse is not helping. Why don't you bless the leader that you need to bless and say, Lord, I bless them, and I pray, Lord, you would do what you need to do in them. Do what you need to do in them, because if I add my prayer to it, it's potentially going to be witchcraft. Because you know, when we speak our plans over people, we're just speaking our plans over people. I'd rather go, Lord, you do what you need to do. You do what you need to do. And when you start down this path, if you're willing to, I'm telling you, God's going to begin to show you things, because I can tell you firsthand, I am getting more gut checks than I have ever had before of condemning thoughts that I've had. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have thought that. Myself, judgmental thoughts over other people. Oh, I shouldn't have thought that. Because when you say, Lord, purify my mind, he will. He'll begin to show you ugly things. And I don't feel bad about it. I'm just like, oh, how often do I do that? You know, that little twinge of what you think people should be like? Oh, if they only did this. Anyway, that's just my walk. Just saying. I hope I'm getting across the power of our words. I'm just so amazed at the grace of God, because I wonder how often we use words that are so careless, and he wants us to be careful. I want to be a people, a body, that when they walk in, they feel from the moment they walk through those doors, the moment they meet us, they feel life. And if anything else, church, when we come together, I want to see that corporate worship explode in this house. Because when we're not thankful, let's go back to Romans 1:21. When we're not thankful and we don't glorify God as God, we become futile or empty in our thoughts and our hearts become darkened. So if you want to know how sometimes we get to this place of darkness, we need to step back and go, Lord, have I stopped thanking you? Lord, have I stopped glorifying you? And where did I turn the page? And how do I turn the page back? Amen? Why don't you stand? Well, thank you, God. Now we have to walk it out. So, Lord, we say help. I was going to give you some really wise advice to help walk it out. No, Lord, help. Lord, help us to take note of what we are saying. Lord, I pray that as the days come, even tomorrow, Lord, tomorrow will be a great test, that we will speak all day life, blessing. Lord, no matter what the election results are, that we will speak life, blessing. Lord, that we will wake up on Tuesday, and I choose on Tuesday morning to imagine no matter what thoughts that will create what Canada will look like. It doesn't matter what maybe we think it could look like. I want to have the thoughts of what it could look like, your thoughts. So Lord, I pray that you guard our hearts, guard our minds, guard how we speak. And Lord, we would take stock of our minds and we would take stock of our heart and we'd take stock of our mouth and you would begin to do something great within us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.